Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Lakers Chatter Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Troy, better known to you guys as Lakers Chatter or Hoophead Productions. And on this episode, we're going to go over a little bit of these first four games and just some of the things that have stood out most to me. Then we'll talk a little bit about these next two San Antonio games, as well as these next two Memphis games, next four up for LA. And stay tuned. Okay, so first I want to go all the way back to the Clippers game. And there was definitely some good stuff in this game that we saw, but it was frustrating to watch as a fan, even though going into the game, and I said it on the pod, I said it on Twitter, you know, a lot of people made this point, was that the Lakers were not going to win that game, for one, you know, championship hangover, ring night, all that stuff that we covered in the last episode. But just 70 days off, a lot of new guys that are expected to play major key roles on this team. It was just a lot to digest for an opening night. And Lakers pretty much played as expected. Well, not totally, because I don't think anybody expected them to be down by 20 at the end of the first quarter. And, you know, a lot of similarities, I thought, at least in the through the first half of the Clippers game and then also the Portland game, where the Lakers just did not come out, you know, ready and on defense. And that, you know, so they get down huge at the beginning of this Clippers game. Nobody's hitting shots. Just everybody's really struggling. Kuzma and Montrez check in, and pretty much it was them and the rest of the bench unit just sliced that lead down through the second and third quarters. And, you know, you go into halftime down, you know, 2 points, 5 points, after being down 22 at the start of the second quarter. That's pretty good. You know, it was nice to see the bench able to come in and, you know, immediately it was like the offense flipped a switch and guys were hitting buckets. And, you know, it was just great to be able to see guys that basically coming in cold off the bench and ready to just contribute and ready, you know, ready to play. Towards the end of that third quarter, they definitely started getting sloppy on defense again. Shot making kind of declined a little bit, and you know, you end up being down by basically 20 with 4 minutes left. And it, you know, they did cut that down to just 10. You know, with a couple minutes left, and then really held them, they were able to hold them scoreless for about the last minute or so, while, you know, while putting in 4 points, getting a little close. But you look at just, I feel like we've seen two different teams already this year out of the Lakers. You know, we saw who we saw in the Portland game, and unfortunately I didn't get to watch as much of the Portland game as I would have liked to. Saw most of the first half, and you know, I'll get more to the Portland game later, but you know, you see them, just how frustrating it was to watch them play. And granted, Portland, first back-to-back of the season, that was a game that I mentioned that you know, is a possible loss. Portland is much better than what I think anyone's willing to give them credit for right now, or at least credit that they were willing to give to Portland prior to the Laker game. So you drop opening night to the Clippers, as expected, you know, ring night, and it you almost start to say, well, this is going to be the same as last year. And that's sort of where I'm at right now as well, and I'm sure many of you are in that spot too. Because you see them kind of just come out sluggish, not really, you know, it didn't seem like that the Lakers cared whether or not they won that opening night. You know, it was definitely, it was all about the celebration. And then to come back the next, or not the next night, but the next game against Dallas, and, you know, you have four guys over 20 points or right around 20 points. And it was like, here, I can just pull up the box score. You had Harrell, Kuzma, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis combined for 90 points. Let me make sure. I thought that was the game that, Dennis Schroeder. And when you have basically how I view this roster, those are the four guys that should get the most shot attempts, most touches. You know, you need those four guys to show up and play well. And as long as you get maybe two out of the four that play really well, three out of the four, you're going to win a lot of games. But you know, when your first four scoring options combined for 90 points, it's just tough for other teams to compete with you. And, you know, the Mavericks were without Kristaps Porzingis. I still think the Lakers win this game, especially, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I still think the Lakers win this game with KP available for the Mavs. You know, maybe Anthony Davis doesn't, you know, make quite that scoring impact that he made, you know, team high 28 points. So say maybe he gets 20. You're still looking at basically 80 points that, you know, your top four guys combined for, and, you know, that pretty much that's what you want. And especially when you look at this Lakers roster, having Porzingis would have definitely gave the Mavericks a better chance at winning this. The Lakers certainly don't win that game by 20 if you know, the Mavericks are fully healthy. But I still think they win that game. And, you know, this Minnesota game is where I'm watching this and I'm saying to myself, Lakers are putting up basically 140 points in this game without maybe the best player on the team, Anthony Davis. Certainly a top 10, probably top 5 player, depending on who you ask. And, you know, they win by 40 points without your top guy. And, you know, the next night, the loss to Portland, and of course, you know, the leading headlines on ESPN are, do the Lakers have enough help for LeBron, is basically what it boiled down to. I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but it boiled down to, you know, these arguments already come out. Do the Lakers have enough help? Do they have enough? And this is the night after, for one, first back-to-back of the season. You don't have your second-best player in Anthony Davis, depending on how you want to put it. and you're just coming off of a 40-point win without him. And it, I mean, it's like none of these national NBA guys and gals watched the Sunday night game. It's like nobody saw it. It's 24 hours and they just forget what the Lakers did without Anthony Davis. And now it's, oh, do they have enough to help LeBron? Absolutely, the Lakers have enough help. You basically have four guys that averaged right around 20 or more last year with LeBron, Anthony Davis, Trez, and Dennis the Menace. Then you have a guy like Kuzma, who is on a hot streak right now, that's for sure. But who definitely has the capability to drop 20. You have a guy like Marc Gasol, who definitely, you know, at this stage of his career, you're not going to look to him as a primary scoring option. But the way that, and this, that three we saw him hit the other night from the top of the arc was just, it was a dynamic the Lakers didn't have last year. And it opens up a ton of space in the lane. And in part, I think that's why we did see Kuzma's little surge that we've seen from him to open the season. Because you have a big like Marc Gasol who can pass the ball just superbly. But he can also step out and he can hit a three. And, you know, it having that big of a guy not taking up space at the basket the way that the Lakers did last year with JaVale and with McGee not only opens up space for guys like Kuzma who just thrive off of slashing to the baskets and finding open places to cut and Caruso too, but now Anthony Davis has room to work inside and a guy like Trez has room to work inside, and a guy like LeBron has paths to the basket, and Talen Horton-Tucker can come off the bench, and you know, THT has just been very fun to watch. You watch him, and you say to yourself, you know, it's obvious that he's a young player still. I think he gets caught sometimes, you know, looking for his own ways to impact the game more than just saying, I can impact the game by making this extra pass or by, you know, just not barreling into the lane. But when you see a young kid like that, that isn't afraid to go to the basket and really to find a way to get to the basket, is how I should put it, because he, some of the ways that he gets into the lane just make me stop and I just, wow, you know what I mean? And it's great to see. And, I really hope as the season goes that his role expands more and more. I think with his length that, you know, this is off on a tangent a bit, but a lot of people feel like the Lakers still need that one big wing defender, you know, that can really lock up the perimeter. I don't think the Lakers need to pick anybody up. Talen Horton-Tucker is right there waiting. It's just a matter of Vogel giving him the minutes. But when you look at the roster and you say, okay, well, our four main guys can put up 20. And then you have a fifth guy that could get 20 on a given night. You have a guy like KCP who could get hot and get you 15 or 20. A guy like THT that can come off the bench and light it up quickly in just a few minutes and in short stretches even. Now you look at the people asking this question, do the Lakers have enough to help LeBron? And it's just, it's mind-boggling that anyone would ask that. Regardless of the 40-point win without Anthony Davis. I'm gonna wrap up this segment here because I kind of got off on a tangent. When we come back, we'll look at just some of the good stuff that's happened. You know, the progress Kuzma's made. The just really the performances from THT and what he's brought, and just how it's just been a nice thing to see. And you know, we'll talk a little bit about Trez, and we'll talk a little bit more about Marc Gasol. Stay tuned, we'll be back in just a second. So I want to start by looking at Kyle Kuzma's performances so far this year. I think this is important because so many people, it feels like at least, and I'm not going to say people, I'll just say Laker fans. It feels like a lot of Laker fans want to see him fail on some level. You know, he lit it up from three the other night, and the discussion still was focused more on, well, he's not a good defender, and people need to stop saying he is, and people need to stop saying that he's improved on defense. And I think for the most part, he has looked much better on defense, and the box score shows that. He has 5 blocks through 4 games. 3 of those, the first night of the back-to-back, with 2 of those in the first quarter, and Kuzma was just, I really believe that him not having that hot start, if he doesn't have that, I don't think the Lakers win that game. And maybe that's BS, who knows. I think that hot start and the team being able to see a guy just totally catch fire, and he was unstoppable for a half, really. That lifts up the team. You know, being able to say, oh, well, these guys aren't hitting shots, and this guy's not hitting his shots, but this guy is on fire. Get him the ball. And, it was Kuzma's first start of the year, and most minutes he's played all year, most shot attempts, and I think that all directly impacted this being the best performance of the very young season from him so far. I certainly think it's indicative of what we can expect from him going forward. And you still have to keep in mind, he is a very streaky offensive player. We've seen that through his whole career so far. But the way that he has caught fire, especially from three, the beginning of this season, is, I know it's only been 4 games. I don't think this is anything to turn your nose up at. We saw some improvements, with his 3-point shot and defensively in the bubble. I think his defense maybe has come back a little bit from where he was at in the bubble. But I think that's more so to do with just the short off season. Still trying to get his legs under him. I think the defensive improvements will continue. And a 6'9" guy on the wing that is quick, can shoot the ball, has length. If he adds a strong defensive element to his game, to me, that's almost the makings of really an all-star type player. It's unlikely to me that he'll be an all-star in the West just because it is so loaded, as far as just star talent goes, and especially on the wings. I mean, you have 3 all-star wing players just in LA between the 2 teams. So that's that. But, to see Kuzma, other than the second night of the back-to-back where nobody looked good, he's shot over 45% every game. He's basically been at 11 shots a game. And then, you know, you look at these 3-point percentages, and other than the Portland game, he's shooting the ball fantastic right now. And obviously, you know, small sample size, it's early in the season, we understand all that, but this is certainly a trend that all of Laker Nation hopes to see continue. And I know the debate about this has been extensive, to say the least. I have never really been fully one way or the other as far as whether or not Kuzma should get traded. And I don't think it's a conversation that will come up as much this year because of the contract extension. But I at the price he's at, the level of contribution that he is capable of, it's just really hard for me to sit here and to say, yeah, but you know, the Lakers could do better. You know, they could get somebody better, they could trade him. And I at this point, certainly this season, you keep him. If his trade value really jumps this year, maybe you look to move him for a third star. But I don't want to say he's a star or slated to be a superstar, because I don't think that's the case either. But I think he really has the capability to be this upper echelon level, you know, bench scorer, role player, type guy, a 3-and-D wing player. You know, the championship team needs to help it be successful. And so far, that's what we've seen from him through, you know, a quick first week of the season. When we come back, we will talk a little bit about Marc Gasol and, you know, what we've seen from him this far. So as far as Marc Gasol goes, you know, opening night, a lot of Laker fans' instant reaction was, Marc Gasol is washed, he's slow, he's useless, he can't play anymore. The Lakers were better off with JaVale or Dwight. And I don't know that it's necessarily a better or worse, you know, Gasol versus McGee and Dwight. More so just different. It's just a different team, and I touched on this earlier. You have a center that can step out, you know, pass from the perimeter, pass from the high post, pass from the block, hit a corner three, hit on the wing, hit straight ahead, score around the basket, rebound the basketball, block shots, you know, has fast hands, can you know, get steals. And I think we've seen a little bit of all of that from him so far. And, you know, he did struggle a little bit in that first game defensively. But we've really seen him kind of just come alive and get involved in this offense and just finding ways to impact the game. And, obviously, and this is going to be a point I make with all of these little recaps, segments, whatever the heck you want to call them. You know, his best performance came in that blowout win against, sorry, against Minnesota. And, you know, to see him go for a basically approach a triple double with 4 blocks in only 20 minutes. That's just high impact basketball. That, I mean, there's nothing else you can say about it. It's just high impact basketball. It's IQ, it's veteran experience. And it's I there's not too many guys in the league that are going to give you 12, 7, and 8 with 4 blocks in 20 minutes. He, you know, he did have three turnovers. I don't care. Turnovers are going to happen. And plus 24 that night as well. So turnovers didn't really matter. Defensively, a little bit slow. But one thing that I loved from that Minnesota game, all four of his blocks, I'm pretty sure it was all four of them anyways. It wasn't like he jumped up to block a shot. It was quick hand, swiping in, knocking the ball down while the offensive player was bringing it up to get their attempt off. And that I could not help but just... It almost made me laugh every time because you don't expect it until it happened. And then you're like, oh my God, like, this guy is a good defensive center. You know, he's not super athletic anymore. He's not going to get up off the floor a whole bunch. But he's a winning player, and he's making winning plays. And despite our record early on in the year, I think the Lakers have benefited a lot from that. You know, he's basically averaging 8 rebounds a game, and, you know, the scoring doesn't matter as long as he's rebounding the ball. He's playing well on defense. He's been a net positive in every game except the Clipper game. And like we've said already, nobody really looked great in that Clipper game, especially defensively. And, you know, even in the Portland game, Gasol still finished plus 14. And, like I said earlier, I didn't get to watch as much of that game as I wanted to. I thought, other than the first quarter, and especially the first, you know, three quarters of that opening quarter, the Lakers just, they were god-awful, slow on defense, nobody could make anything. And, you know, you still have Gasol finish with, you know, 7 rebounds, a steal and a block, and make a defensive impact. Scoring has been so-so from him, I would say. I think his percentages are absolutely inflated by the Minnesota game, where he, a perfect 4-for-4 from the floor, 3 triples. And it really, I think this is more so, and Vogel has said this himself, he's still trying to figure out how to use these new guys that he's got, all these new toys. How do they work? And I think we're really starting to see him unlock Marc Gasol's playmaking, which I, in sort of a way that, you know, we definitely didn't foresee, at least I didn't, that's taking a huge load off LeBron. You know, you can play Gasol on the floor with almost anybody on the roster because of the way that he plays the game. He's not going to take too many shots from anybody. He has this very high IQ and passing ability where he can get the ball to people in the spots they need to be in. So I don't think that it makes us a better defensive team necessarily, because he is a little bit slower, a little bit less athletic than what Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee are or were last year. But now that Vogel is really integrating Gasol into the offense, I think we see that defense improve a little bit. You know, guys play with, and defense is all effort, okay? Guys play with more effort when they're more involved in the game, when they're getting more touches, they're getting more shots, they're finding their teammates for open shots. And I think we've seen that from Gasol, too. Opening night against the Clippers, it felt like he looked lost at some points on the floor, wasn't sure where to move to, wasn't sure where to get the ball to, you know, just based on the flow of the offense. And now that we're just seeing him use his instincts these last few games, and Vogel's getting him involved in the high post and, you know, letting him make those reads from that area of the floor, I think we're going to see a rejuvenated Marc Gasol this year. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Montrezl Harrell. And just, this guy has been exciting to watch for me. I'll admit, I did not watch a ton of Clippers games last year, so I didn't know what to expect from him. Outside of, watching film on him. So, take a quick second, and we'll come back and talk about Trez. So, at least for me, I have really enjoyed watching Montrezl Harrell this year. Offensively, to me, better than expected for me, and it's weird to say that about a guy that just came off, give or take, a 20-point-per-game season and winning Sixth Man of the Year. But I did not realize the touch that he has on that short corner jumper, when he ISOs. And it's just, I jumped up off the couch every single one he hit against Minnesota. Was it the Minnesota or the Dallas game? I don't remember now. But, it was the Dallas game. Because he ran back down the court after he hit the shot over Boban, and he's going back down the court, and you see him say something to Rick Carlisle, and I replayed it a couple times, and I'm sure all of you guys love this too. But pretty much, he told Rick Carlisle, he can't guard me. He can't guard me. You know, he can't guard me. And he couldn't. Trez hit that shot, I think it was three possessions in a row from the exact same spot on the floor. Crossover, bam. And same thing next two times. And turned in his best performance of the season. He's been consistent so far this year, and there's not much else to really say about it. He's just been consistent offensively. Defensively, I don't think he's been that bad. Obviously, there's a lot of detractors because of the Portland game. That, to me, is less on Trez, a little more on Vogel not making the adjustment sooner to get him out of the game or to, make the switch. But, box score-wise, at least, Trez is making a defensive impact. Steals, blocks, not too many fouls, and really putting his body on the line around the basket, trying to draw those charges. And I don't know if that is something that Vogel has really, made a point of emphasis, or if Trez is just, doing defensive drills with Alex Caruso. But seeing guys willing to step in front of a guy and get hit pretty much, that's the type of basketball I like to see. I like to see guys make those hustle plays and just pure effort plays. And Trez has been that guy. He's been, you can count on him when he comes into the game to make something happen. He's going to score the ball, or he's going to grab hustle rebounds. And it's been just awesome to see, to have a really gritty, hard-nosed player like that, who wants to play gritty and wants to play a hard-nosed style and plays with just a ton of swagger and gets on a hot streak shooting the ball. And pretty much says you can't touch me. And I don't think the Lakers have had a player with swagger like that. I mean, you know, we've got LeBron, we've got Anthony Davis, but in it almost is, and it's not at Kobe's level, but it's almost Kobe-esque to where, you know, you saw Trez hitting those shots and pretty much saying, get out of my way, I'm scoring the ball in this quarter. And that's what he did against Dallas. He really kind of took over those two middle quarters, and he's to put it simply, he just went to work. I still would like to see him, you know, be a little more aggressive defensively in the pick and roll. This was something I saw just watching, you know, mostly Portland highlights, really, from the Portland game. But Trez really just kind of sagged off a lot, going under a lot of the screens, a lot of the switches on the pick and roll. And especially against a team like Portland that can light you up from the perimeter, you have got to step up and get in that guy's face. You know, we've got Anthony Davis. We've got a guy like Marc Gasol that can protect the rim. We've got LeBron, who, you know, we know he's a quality defender. We know he can get chase down blocks. You know, you've got guys like Alex Caruso that thrive on these hustle defense plays. And basically what I'm getting at is Trez needs to not be afraid to step up and close out on those threes and those, and close out after those pick and roll switches, you know, because we have a defensive line behind him that can, you know, step up, fill the lane, put a body on somebody, and meet somebody at the basket and force him into a really tough shot. And so I don't know if this is just, it's probably a combination of, you know, he's got last year's mentality of Doc Rivers' philosophy and how Doc wanted him to play on defense. And, you know, 2 months ago, he's playing this totally different type of game, at least offensively. And now saying, okay, like, we're not going to make you get abused and bang in the post too much defensively. Obviously, it's going to happen. You're going to have to play the five from time to time. But finding ways to get Harrell on the floor with Marc Gasol and with Anthony Davis, pairing him with a rim protector, or at least in Marc Gasol's case, just a high IQ defensive player, that will really take a lot of the burden off of Trez defensively. To me, he's much better guarding the four or even, you know, bigger threes, a guy like a LeBron. He can't be, this is something that's kind of been in my brain looking at, you know, when we play a team like the Jazz or we play the Nuggets or we play Houston, guys that have bigs that can just abuse you in the post. What is Vogel going to do to make sure that Trez isn't compromised in those situations? Obviously, he's going to have to guard those guys at some point. You can't expect Anthony Davis to play 48 minutes. You can't expect Marc Gasol to play 48 minutes. It's just, and it worries me on some level because we're going to see defensive nights like how we played against Portland. And a year ago, just like a lot of Laker fans echoed this on Twitter, a year ago, I really would have, you know, a loss like Portland would have got me much more upset and frustrated about it, just, you know, because we know what this team is capable of. But, you know, after going through last season and saying, okay, they're going to lose some of these really winnable games just because they don't play with the amount of effort that they should be playing with, and you just have to live with it at this point. 2-2 early on in the season doesn't have me worried. 68 games left. So, sorry, I got a little off track there at the end. When we come back, we're going to talk about Dennis Schroeder and, you know, just what we've seen from him so far. Stay tuned. So, Dennis Schroeder is, you know, last year when the Lakers were trying to get Darren Collison out of retirement, and there was the Derrick Rose rumors, and, you know, all these rumors just about scoring, playmaking guards that the Lakers should sign or want to sign, or, you know, just if that type of player was really what a lot of people felt like they needed last year, you know, in order to win the championship. And Dennis Schroeder is exactly that guy. He has been just a really solid playmaker. It was 12 or 8 assists opening night. And really quietly approached a triple-double in that game as well. 14, 12, and 8. Wasn't great shooting the basketball against the Clippers. I think he shot 33% from the floor that night. But we've seen him over 50% the other three games. And he turned in a season-high 24 points against Portland. So the Lakers have this dynamic scoring playmaking guard that, you know, we haven't quite seen the 3-point shooting out of him that I think a lot of us would have hoped to see. I do think that Schroeder is capable of being a quality 3-point shooter. I don't have any reason to not think that. I just think that it's been, you know, it's not his go-to area of the floor to try to score from, and so I think that's partially what we're seeing out of him right now. But, you know, to have a guy that can run an offense and carry an offense with other guys involved for, you know, decent stretches of a game where LeBron can sit out and Anthony Davis can sit. It's just, it really brings an awesome dynamic to this team. It's especially a shortened season, shortened off season. That's going to take a huge load off of LeBron. And, you know, games like Portland is where we really do need Schroeder to step up like he did. It's unfortunate that the rest of the team couldn't play up to their abilities. But it's not, you know, we're going to have nights like that, like Portland, like the Clippers game. And you know, just to have a guy that is almost just instant offense. It's great to have it. It almost feels like I'm just echoing a lot of stuff that I said about Kuzma and about Trez, but Dennis brings a lot of those same things. More dynamic as a playmaker than either of them. Not quite the rebounder either of them are. More dynamic scorer than Kuzma, I would say. maybe a little bit more than Trez, just because Schroeder does have that ability to really step outside and hit an outside shot, and to orchestrate a pick and roll, and you know, all the things that you want from a scoring playmaking guard. And so to me, the next area where I'd really like to see Dennis starting to contribute a lot would be that 3-point shot. It hasn't really come around. He's hit a few this year, but then, you know, you look at the Minnesota game and he's 0-for-3 that night. And you know, he's not known as a guy that's going to light you up from three, but we need him to be able to hit that shot at least at a respectable rate. So I think that'll come around. It's weird because you see a guy like Schroeder kind of struggle early in the season from three, and then you look at Danny Green last year and wasn't quite himself from three, though he did have some quality shooting performances. And then you look at a guy like Wesley Matthews early on in the season struggling to shoot the ball, and it's like, you just have to ask yourself, is there some sort of Lakers 3-point, you know, marksman curse? And, you know, not saying that Dennis is a marksman by any means, but, you know, just the struggles, it's the superstitious sports fan in me. But I like what I've seen out of Dennis so far. One thing that's really been nice for me to be able to see is that he is definitely a better defender than what people really give him credit for or what people mention. I know the box score numbers haven't really been there in terms of steals and blocks, but being a guy that can, you know, he's going to pick up the opposing point guard at half court, and he's really going to hound him when they have the basketball. He's going to be right on them. And fighting over screens and fighting around screens and, you know, just chasing guys around the floor. It's not something that was talked about as far as all the good things that he was going to bring to this Lakers team. And so to see him play really quality defense when the Lakers kind of didn't have that type of player last year. Obviously, we had good perimeter defenders, but we didn't have perimeter defenders that were also going to score the basketball, that were also going to play make at a high level, that can also have a night where they are really active on the boards and grab 12 rebounds. And it's just been really, you know, just encouraging to see that out of him. When we come back, we'll look a little bit at this quick road trip the Lakers have coming up. Stay tuned. So, starting tonight, we've got the first road trip of the season. 2 games against San Antonio, 2 games against Memphis. And this is where the Lakers need to start to build wins in the early part of the schedule. You start 2-2, you get 4 winnable road games right after. You know, flat out, these have to be 4 straight wins. The Lakers are going to start losing ground in the Western Conference if they don't win these games. It's very early. But we're already seeing a lot of the top teams, you know, struggle in the early part of the year with 1-3, 2-2, 0-2, you know, all these really sluggish starts. And, you know, obviously those, you know, the Bucks, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Nets, those are going to be the teams that are there, you know, at the end of the season, fighting for spots in the finals. And to see them all kind of start slowly like this, you really can only attribute it to the short turnaround from last season to this season, and the fact that lots of these teams have veteran players that it's going to take them a month or 2 months to really fully get their legs under them and really be, you know, fully into game shape and at full speed, ready to go every single night. You know, San Antonio right now, 2-1, you know, putting together some nice performances. DeMar DeRozan, another season right out of the playbook for him, exactly what you'd expect. And, you know, it's frustrating to see the Lakers struggle through these first four games and then have to immediately go into a road trip. But when it's four very winnable games, and you know, maybe they drop one of these to San Antonio. That's always been a really strong rivalry. But if the Lakers are healthy all four of these games, it's got to be four wins. You know, both the Grizzlies games should be wins. They're going to be without Ja Morant. He's out up to 5 weeks or so with his ankle injury. And these are must win. And it's weird to say that when you're only on game five. But it's must win. It's weird to feel like you have to play with a sense of urgency when you're 12 weeks removed from winning an NBA championship. But, and we saw this, the headlines after the Portland game. If the Lakers continue to struggle through these early, you know, first 15 games and are hovering around 500, that narrative of, does LeBron have enough help? Is Anthony Davis good enough? Is LeBron getting old? All these narratives are going to start popping up, and they're going to hang around a lot longer than what anyone would like those narratives to you know, be brought up and to be, you know, to see those headlines. And it's worse when you've watched this team last year and how they played and what they did and the way that they built up to the championship, and to see all those same detractors just, you know, 2.5 months removed from a championship continue to bring up these same narratives that they brought up last year. And it just gets old fast, and it's frustrating, and it's just annoying more than anything. And just to know that those are going to continue, they're going to continue regardless, but to know how vicious those narratives are going to get pushed if the Lakers do drop any of the games on this road trip, you definitely don't want that early in the year. But you don't want to give all these other teams that think they have a shot, you don't want to give them this false sense of hope. And it was a problem last year where the Lakers let, you know, they let teams hang around too long in games and then couldn't put them away in the final 4 or 5 minutes. And it sort of feels like we're going to get the same Lakers team this year. I just hope we don't get it on the road trip. The Lakers had the best record away from home last year. That might have been second best. I might be wrong on that. The Bucks might have had the number one road record. But the Lakers dominated away from Staples Center last year. And they're going to have to do that again this year. Obviously, you always want to play well on the road. But to have a true championship team it's not a, you know, that's not something that just goes on the want list, or any kind of wish list. Winning on the road is a, this is, we must do this. We have to win these games. The big thing for me, I'd really like to see Anthony Davis play, you know, more aggressively tonight, especially if the Spurs hang around or have an early lead the way that Portland did. But it really just comes down to the Lakers got to play with a ton of effort this first road trip. You know, all things considered, you know, the short off season, the veterans still getting their legs under them, Marcus Gasol still getting, you know, finding his rhythm in the offense, Wesley Matthews, you know, just struggling. You know, he hasn't been the 3-point sniper that he's known as. And so you look at all these factors, and you know, Vogel is still playing with his rotations, and where does THT get minutes? This road trip, I hope, is where we get a lot of those answers. I hope it's where we see Wesley Matthews come back alive, find his confidence again. And Anthony Davis made a point to say that that is what the team tried to do collectively against Portland. They wanted, you know, they want Wesley Matthews to be confident, to be, you know, this lights out shooter, and to see him not there yet. And I, you know, touched on this a little earlier. It's like a Lakers shooting curse. And it's hard to say that without, you know, a little laugh with it. But I think this road trip, and especially, you know, getting the benefit of playing a team like Memphis back-to-back early in the season, especially without their star player, that should be two wins, in my opinion. San Antonio should be two wins. I'm expecting a split. It just comes down to the Lakers have to play with effort these games. We haven't totally seen a lot, you know, just pure effort from them other than the Minnesota game. I mean, there's nothing else for me to put with that. They have to show up, they have to play with effort, and it starts on the defensive end. Hopefully we see a Lakers win tonight. Need to get back in the win column. Need to get back over 500. And a win now in this part of the season is the kind of win that could go a long way later on, especially with how close all these top teams have been so far. I'm gonna cut off the episode there, and we will be back after New Year's with another episode of Lakers Chatter. Hope everybody enjoyed their holidays, time off with family, friends, vacationing, whatever you might be doing. We'll see you next week. Go Lakers. Thanks for checking out the show. If you enjoyed this episode or past episodes and you want to keep up with more of my content, make sure to follow at Laker Chatter on Twitter. Make sure to check out Hooped Productions on Twitter. That's at Hooped _PROD. You can also find Hooped Productions on YouTube, Spotify, you can also find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Radio Public, and plenty more streaming platforms. Make sure to leave us a review, like, share, retweet. You know, we appreciate all the help we get on this. that's all I got for you guys. Have a good one.